We're now joined by Alex Hooper, who works for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, covers the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Cleveland Indians. But we're going to start first with the Cavs. Alex, thanks for joining us. Listen, game two, I mean, what exactly happened? Can you put your finger on it? Did the Cavs maybe quit? They get outplayed? What do you think, Alex?
You know, the Cavs didn't force a whole lot of turnovers in that game, and you know, they could have used those extra possessions, obviously. And when the game was close, they weren't getting those four-point swings that you get by forcing turnovers. And yeah, I mean, the Celtics just looked like they wanted it more. Frankly, the 50-50 balls went to Boston more often than not. And those are little things, it seems, but over the course of a game, and really in the playoffs, it's what makes the difference. Usually, I mean, you would think that it kind of goes 1-2 and they even out over the course of a series, but I don't think it has so far. I think Boston's just been spry, and I think they realize that this is their moment, and they're playing like it, whereas the Cavs just, I mean, you see it. They let a lot go. They got frustrated. J.R. Smith lost his composure. Team took a lot of bad shots down the stretch, and they don't look like a championship team. And I don't think they are.
No.
They got all these young guys in there. And, I mean, J.R. Smith was kind of the guy to fly off the handle every now and then before on that championship team. So if you don't count him, you're left with LeBron and Kevin Love. And not a lot of guys who know how to perform in this sort of environment. And sure enough, it's been rough.
Yeah, to say the least there, Alex, third quarter came back to haunt us. I mean, it looked like the Indiana series all over again. That third quarter was really telling. Do you think LeBron was, we know he was shaken up. Do you think he had a concussion, though, more than just a neck strain?
I would hope not. I would sure hope that if he did suffer a concussion or something like it, they would have kept him out of the game. I think they would have done that. You know, he's almost superhuman. I'm not saying that, you know, concussions aren't concussions on other people.
Yeah, Alex, hey, I don't want to be the guy to tell LeBron you're not going back in a game. I don't want to be that guy.
That's fair, especially when he's about to be a free agent. I totally get that. But it looked bad. And it definitely, I mean, that changed the course of the game. Everyone was starting to get hot at that point. And all of a sudden, you know, LeBron was starting to get hot. Everyone else on the team was starting to get hot. And then that happens. And everybody starts going cold because you lose your rhythm. And I think it might have changed the game.
You know, Alex, if you look at the game two with the Cavs and Celtics, and then you look at game two with the Rockets and the Warriors, look what the Rockets did to the Warriors. They put five guys in double figures. They spread the ball around. They shot the ball. I mean, James Harden didn't do everything for him. I think he kind of had an off night, if you want to call like 28 points an off night for James Harden. But if you look at what the Rockets did to the Warriors, it's exactly what Boston has been doing to the Cavs. Now, the Cavs got to turn that around when they come back home tomorrow night for game three and get everyone involved. Jordan Clarkson didn't even play in game two, but LeBron can't go off with a 40-point triple-double and expect this team to win game in and game out.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. LeBron needs more help, but he's not getting it. And he tries to distribute, and he tries to get people, you know, going at the start of the game most of the time, but he has not had it. Guys have not hit shots. It's as simple as that. I mean, he really just needs one guy to get going. It opens up the floor. Teams can't completely game plan for him, and then he can kind of turn it around. But just, I mean, if Kyle Korver's not going, Kevin Love has kind of struggled offensively throughout. So it's just hard to find it, and you need more, but you're just not getting it.
Alex, if you look the way the Celtics have played in the first two games, and really even in the playoffs, they play great at home. They struggle a little bit on the road. And the guys and I have had a conversation over the last couple of weeks. Do you think this Celtics team is better without Kyrie Irving? They play better as a team, or do you think Kyrie would make them even better?
I think they'd find a way for Kyrie to, you know, make them even better. Obviously, he's going to get shots up, and obviously the scoring distribution, like you mentioned, is a big thing, but I mean, he's Kyrie Irving, and I know sometimes you take guys away and teams become a little more well-rounded and look a little better, but my heart tells me that they would be better with Kyrie regardless. You know, I brought it up to a couple of my colleagues the other day. This team, the way it looks, at some point you got to trade somebody. I mean, with Hayward and Kyrie back, with Rozier, who I know is a restricted free agent, but Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, all those guys, I mean, at some point, someone's going to be pretty unhappy with their playing time, and you eventually move off. And I just heard a lot of people say, I think you trade Kyrie Irving. And I guess it makes sense if, I mean, if you make it to the finals without him, and you like your point guard situation with Terry, then maybe you think about it. But he's an elite NBA player, and he's also kind of damaged goods. I don't know that you can get a whole lot back for him. I don't think they would like to trade damaged Isaiah Thomas and damaged Kyrie Irving in back-to-back offseasons because you're not maximizing the return. So I don't think they're a better team without him. I think they could decide to move on without him because they like the youth that they have. But to answer your question, I don't think that's the case. It could be, though.
Hey, we're talking with Alex Hooper, 92.3 The Fan, covers the Cavaliers and the Indians. Find him on Twitter, too. It's at Lex Hooper. That's Alex Hooper on Twitter, at Lex Hooper. You think, Alex, that Ty Lue is kind of being the scapegoat here? I mean, everybody's talking about his rotation and what players he is or is not playing. I don't know what his infatuation with Rodney Hood is at this point. I think he's just trying to find anybody out there who can maybe knock down a shot and get some confidence. But you think he's being the scapegoat here or being made the scapegoat, and is it fair or not?
I think he's definitely the scapegoat. It's kind of the easy thing to do is question a coach like that. And, you know, I understand the criticism of rotations. I get that. But, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but we get a bunch of calls that just say, he's a terrible coach, and then you press someone on why that is, and they don't have an answer. And I don't think a lot of the people who question him understand the difference between the NBA game and, you know, what they know in terms of basketball X's and O's. So, yeah, I think the rotations are an issue. Like you said, Rodney Hood is giving you nothing. Jason Boyd from The Athletic just flat-out asked Ty Lue why he's still playing Rodney Hood, and Ty kind of scoffed and said, because I want to play him.
That's not a good enough answer, though, at this point, you know?
Right. It's kind of the inverse of what I just said about the calls we get. I mean, you can't – obviously, you can't sit up there and say, well, we use them this way, and that offsets this, and that, and this, and that. But at the same time, like, everyone sees it. I don't think anyone's sitting there watching Rodney Hood like, I think he's going to turn us around. Because sure as that doesn't look like it. And I really liked him coming out of college. I really liked what I thought he would bring to this team in the trade. But, I mean, he's been absent. And the guys, save George Hill, that they got for Kyrie Irving, it's been bad. It's been a bad situation. That trade has turned out terribly, especially with the way the Brooklyn pick kind of shook out. If you can get something for that pick, then I'll take it back. But yeah, it's been ugly from him, and Ty has not been put in the best situation, but at the same time, I understand the criticism to a degree.
What's the mood of the team? You're around the guys a little bit. I mean, you're down 0-2. I understand maybe what kind of mood they are in, but can they recover, you think, from this, Alex?
Yeah, I think they can, and I think the mood is, you know, we have LeBron James, which I get it. I totally understand that mood. And he changes things completely. So I think that's the reason they can come back. If he gets help, this team can win any game. I mean, I don't know that they have enough help to outgun the Warriors or Rockets. That is kind of a bridge you'll have to cross when you come to it. But, I mean, you saw what the Celtics were like against the Sixers. You saw how they were on the road. I don't think there's any reason that if LeBron just gets a little bit of help at the queue, the way that Boston plays there, they should be able to at least handle their business. Granted, they got to get one at the Garden, and that's going to be tough, but I don't think this is over by any stretch of the imagination. It doesn't look good, again, by any stretch of the imagination, but you got LeBron James, and that's always going to give you a chance. Anytime I've ever looked at a LeBron James-led team and said they don't have a chance, he's pulled something crazy out and got enough help to at least push him through. And I think that's the case. The Celtics team is young. I don't believe in Al Horford as much as, you know, he's played well this series. I don't think he can hold up. I think you can game plan around him and game plan him out of games. And I think the young guys eventually will kind of falter, but you've got to make it happen now, you know, in four of the final five games. And it's going to be tough, but I believe in LeBron. I believe in him enough to say that, you know, this team's never out of it, but it's going to be an uphill climb, and maybe the most uphill climb that he's ever faced.
Zero level of concern still, Alex?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if I can back up LeBron on zero level of concern.
Hey, Game 3, you expect Ty Lue to throw out the same starting lineup as you had in Game 2 with Tristan in there. And if he does make any adjustments, do you maybe see or have you heard anything that maybe he will do? The people calling for Jose Calderon, I mean, then we'd get swept, I mean, honestly. But what can you expect, Game 3?
I expect similar rotations. I don't expect a big change. Again, I think for long stretches, you got kind of what you wanted. I don't understand when Ty Lue, and this is where my criticism goes, and it's again with the rotations, I don't understand why he'll start a quarter, especially like the fourth quarter, with like a Clarkson, Green, Thompson, just Hood, just a bunch of mishmash of guys who haven't given you anything. I always would say I would expect him not to do that, and obviously Clarkson's not playing. I don't think he really can play because he's, the moment seems a little too big for him. So there's that, but I don't expect drastic changes. I think they saw a trend towards what they wanted, but I think it really just comes down to making shots. I hate that when the post-game pressers are like, we just missed shots. But sometimes you look at the stats, and it's true. Sometimes you're so far from the norm that you can just not really read a lot into it. Obviously, you're going to have to make some changes. And granted, I didn't get to break down the X's and O's for Game 2 because I was in the studio doing updates, so I've only gotten to kind of go back and look at video of it, and I see some things that can change, but really, I think guys got to step up on both sides of the ball. And again, I know that sounds like a cop-out, but when Boston looks like they want it that much more, that's a huge problem.
If you look at the Western Conference, Alex, obviously tied one game apiece going into Game 3 on Sunday night, but it's at the O in Oakland. Your thoughts on that series? Who comes out of the West to take on the winner of the East?
You know, I think it goes to a Game 7, and I would still go with the Warriors. I think the Warriors are more apt to steal another game than the Rockets are taking one of three at the Oracle. So, I mean, obviously, can't get to a Game 7 unless they do that, but Golden State coming out in Game 1 and taking home court, you know, they're still the Warriors, and they now have home court. They have an advantage, and anytime that team gets an advantage, they seem to seize on it. Again, same thing there. You mentioned the Rockets distributing that scoring. Eric Gordon was huge off the bench. I mean, last game, KD carried everyone. Steph had something like 16 or 18. Klay couldn't buy a bucket, so that's not going to happen again. I think it'll happen for, I mean, maybe one more game you can have KD kind of controlling things, but they're too good. He's too good for that to happen, I think, over the stretch of the series. I'm not a huge believer in Mike D'Antoni. I think his system produces high numbers like you see from Harden, like he's going to win an MVP just like Steve Nash because he was Steve Nash this year. That's great. You take a great player and put in that system. But as far as game planning against, you know, maybe the greatest assembly of talent in NBA history, I don't see it. And I feel the opposite way about Steve Kerr. I think if you put him as the owner of a team, he could figure out the business aspects and put together a roster and coach the team. And I think he could be the president someday. That's how highly I think of Steve Kerr. So, Warriors.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Kerr, he's learned from a couple of the best, too. I mean, he spent time, obviously, in Chicago with Phil, and then some time with Popovich there in San Antonio. But anyway, hey, a couple quick Tribe questions. Bullpen, sure. We all know it's a complete mess. That game Tuesday, I mean, what a horrible night it was Tuesday for Cleveland sports fans. The Cavs lose Game 2, and then I don't know how the Indians blew that game. They led like 4-1 and then 5-3 and then 8-4, lost to the Tigers 9-8. But I think we're stuck with what we have for a while, right, Alex? No move's going to be made for a while, if one is made at all.
Yeah, I think one will be made eventually, but Chris Antonetti has said now a couple times on record that this is not the time that you make a trade. And I get that the market's got to form. Like, if you try to go out and grab a Rossi Iglesias from the Reds, I mean, the asking price is going to be probably way higher and you might get fleeced. And I don't think a team like that, who desperately needs talent to rebuild going forward, is going to want to make a deal without the market being there, without knowing exactly the ceiling of the deal they can get. And that goes for them. That goes for the Orioles and guys like O'Day, Brock, Britton, if he's ever healthy. But, yeah, I think you're stuck with this. I think you got to find those, you know, minor moves and patch things together. Nick Goody sounds like he's not too far away. And I know that doesn't sound like the greatest promise in the world, but he will help. I think if he's healthy, he will regress towards the mean a little bit. Andrew Miller, it's just, that's rough.
Yeah.
The fact that he's not been able to locate since he's been back. And, you know, they didn't send him on a minor league rehab assignment.
Think he was ready, though, so, Alex? I don't think he was ready.
I think he was as ready as he was going to be. I mean, if he's pain-free, he needed pitching. So I don't know that he was ready to face major league hitters. And I think that's been pretty apparent. But, I mean, even that first game, can't find the strike zone against John Jay, strikes out the next two guys, and then leaves a slider right at the knees, but, like, right over the plate. A guy in Salvi Perez is going to hit that out pretty much every time. So it was just a matter of one bad pitch after a sequence of four. But then, I mean, the other night, that Detroit game, he could find the zone. And I think that's a matter of fatigue, both in his legs and, you know, his arm being a little bit of jelly coming back from this thing. So I don't expect this to last too much longer with him. I think he'll be able to bounce back here soon. I think he should, you know, maybe in his next outing he has another shaky at bat or so, but I expect him to level out.
Alex, I know Ryan Merritt in AAA is banged up a little bit. Also, Danny Salazar, how far away is he to come back? Because you just can't keep throwing Josh Tomlin out there. He is just not a good pitcher right now. Needs probably go down to AAA, find himself a little bit. They also got a bat down there that I know that they're waiting to for him to get a few more at-bats, and that's Melky Cabrera, to bring him up to help the offense maybe a little bit. Your thoughts on those three guys?
Well, Merritt, they just transferred to the 60-day. Because he went out, I think he made one start for Columbus, and that shoulder issue kind of flared up a little bit more, soreness, so they took him off, and he's, I believe, back in Arizona. Danny Salazar, I was told by an Indians official, you know, when we say he's a week away, he'll probably be a week away from being a week away, you know, that kind of thing, where they don't really know. And then he said that recently as well. They don't really have a great feel for where he's at, because it seems like every time he gets on a mound, there's something. And I wouldn't expect a whole lot with Danny. You're kind of playing with house money at this point with him. So if you see him at all this year, be grateful, because it's just a situation that seems like there might have to be something serious done, or maybe there's nothing that can be done, but it's going to be a while, I think, before you see him. As far as Tomlin goes, you know, he's out of options, so if you pull the plug, you're done. There's no more Josh Tomlin. I think someone would claim him. If not, you might be able to outright him to AAA, but again, he's a 34-year-old pitcher with declining velocity that was already bottom of the barrel. So I think you run him out there and try to just stretch out the season as long as you can with him. But if he has another miserable start in, you know, two starts, it might be tough. Adam Plutko is the guy, I think, that you replace him. But then there's not a whole lot of depth after him. As far as Melky goes, you know, Lonnie Chisenhall sounded like he was close to being back. Tyler Naquin been kind of hitting the crap out of the ball. And Melky Cabrera can't play center field, so those guys there don't really matter. You know, maybe you bring him up in DFA Rajay Davis, but he's done some things for you that I don't know that Melky can. So we'll see there. I think that's a situation where you just have to make a pick. Obviously, Melky's a guy who's proven. He's younger than Rajay, and he can hit still and at a high clip. So, like you said, it's just a matter of getting him more at-bats before you bring him up. But he's got that opt-out, I believe, June 1st, if he's not on the big league roster. Maybe it's July 1st.
Well, Alex,
about it, but no, regardless.
Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off there.
Okay.
No, you listen, you always have something right about covering these two organizations right now, the Cavs and the Indians. Last question, and you can answer real quick. We'll get you out on this. Our poll question brought to you by the Parkway Ford and Lincoln Superstore in Dover. Does it go back to Boston 2-2? Call your shot, yes or no?
Yeah, I'll say
it. I like it, Alex. You're a good guy, man. We appreciate the time. That's Alex Hooper from 92.3 The Fan. He covers the Cavs and the Indians for them up on the lakefront. Alex, thanks. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, fellas. Thanks.
Once again, that was Alex Hooper, 92.3 The Fan. Find him on Twitter, at Lex Hooper. That's at Lex Hooper. Myself and Joe, we will break down that interview and look ahead to Game 3 for the Cavs and Celtics tomorrow. That's next on the Big Z Sports Show, 99.9 WTUZ.